Morning, guys. For those I haven't met yet this morning, as Janko said, I'm from Marundera. Just a little bit less than a year ago, we moved there from Cape Town. And it's been absolutely amazing. Zimbabwe is beautiful. Okay. Zambia, I see. Zambia is also beautiful. Okay. And it's such a privilege for us to be here. It was such a blessing for us to spend time with everyone during this past week. We've been here for about 10 days already, and it's just a blessing. You guys are beautiful. So thank you for receiving us so well. It's really been a blessing. Thank you so much for that. So this morning has been weird and beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. That's how it works when the Holy Spirit comes. And it was so amazing because I prepared a sermon and then the Lord came. And it might be messy this morning. Okay, you guys ready for messy? Okay, just tell it to your face now. Okay. So guys, you know what happens when we build church? God builds. Okay. But ultimately, He uses people to build. So He's put a beautiful structure in place in order for us to make sure that we follow Him well, and then He builds. Okay, God's put certain things in place so that we can follow Him well. Jesus said to Peter, based on the revelation, Peter, that you have, I will build my church, Jesus' church. Okay, and that is a beautiful thing to know, that man does not build, but God uses man to build. Okay, based on the revelation of Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, as we build, as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it stops, like the Israelites in the desert. And then there's a season of stopping. Why do we stop? Sometimes the Lord stops in order for Him to build something into us in that moment, or to break something off in that moment that is not supposed to be there. Because God is jealous for His bride. Amen. And we are a priesthood of believers. So in the times when the Israelites were in the desert, God would remove His grace when there is sin in the camp. God is willing to remove His grace when there's one person in the camp of Israel sinning, which is scary. Now, that is the same God we serve today. Now, the beautiful thing is Jesus has paid the ultimate price for sin, but sometimes I think we can take that thing lightly, and then there's certain areas that God wants to build in, and usually when we speak, we think, oh, that is for the church, but it's not for me necessarily. So I want to encourage you guys this morning. I really felt the Lord speak to us while we were here to share something with you guys. And I really want to encourage you guys, when I share this morning, not to point away from yourself, but to open your heart so that when we speak, that the Holy Spirit can minister to us. I want to encourage you guys that as I speak, that you should take the word that I'm sharing, and don't just believe it because I'm coming from Arandira and I'm part of Gospel Central, but test it with the word. Wrestle through it. Because I really felt that Gospel Central is amazing. Especially what's... Oh, thank you. It just got better. Come on. You see, the Lord just confirmed what I said. So I really felt there's an area that the Lord highlighted. And this I submitted with the elders. Because I can't just come here and tell everyone what I feel in the Lord. I come under Janku, who's leading, and under Marnie. And what I felt, I submitted it to them, and they said, please, it's okay, you can release it. And there's something that I really felt that the Lord said, that you are doing well. And that is the functional side of church. You guys are amazing. Beautiful. Come to Marondera. Show them how it's done. Okay. If there's any Marondereans, listen to this recording. I love you. Okay. So you guys are beautiful in that. But I really felt the Lord said something that's lacking is the relational side. Okay. Ultimately, Jesus himself said, go out into all the nations and make. Okay. And then he also said this thing. This is how the whole world will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. So I really felt the Lord wants to lay his hand on this. It's almost like the Lord said, stop. Set up camp here. I want you guys to listen now. So I want to encourage each and every one of you to open your hearts this morning. Okay. One of the areas that might cause the relational side to struggle a bit that I really felt in the Lord is that there's a fence in this camp. Okay. Now, we can immediately think, oh, that's not me, I don't have a fence. You know what's the reality? Each one of us have a measure of a fence in our hearts because we're human beings. Okay. Jesus had to deal with a fence in his heart. I don't want to jump my sermon. But I really want to open you guys. I'm Afrikaans, you can hear me. I really want to encourage you guys to open your hearts this morning to what the Lord has to say. You know, on Tuesday, we had an amazing time with the leaders. It was really a blessing. And we worshipped, and Skulk was still there, and Michael, and just the whole group. It was so beautiful. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, give me a word. And the Lord said, no, first deal with the fence. Now, this is that moment where the Lord comes, and he says, stop what you're doing, and listen. Those who have ears. So I really want to encourage you guys. I would have loved to preach about love only. Okay. But the Lord said, deal with the offense. Because we can't really function relationally if we are offense, if there's offense in our hearts. And there's certain ways to identify that. And it's really okay to have it. But it's not okay to keep it. Okay. So the realistic thing is that offense is a trap, it's a snare, it's a stumbling block. It is something that we receive, it is something that we take. It's a reaction that we have to an action. So sometimes, I don't know, I was the master at offense in church. I was that guy that would tackle the elder on everything. Because how can you say that? Elder? I was difficult. You can phone them in Stellenbosch and ask them. Now, the beautiful thing is, offense isn't something that I go to Owen and I say, Owen, will you please take this offense from me? It is something that you choose to take. It isn't something that I give to you. Offense is something that I choose to take. Now, the reality is, when we build God's way, church, there will be offense. It's not going to be a thing of, yeah, maybe one day I might receive some offense. I'm telling you now, if you are being led in a church where they follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you will have offense in your heart. Why? Come and explain. No, I'm joking. The Bible says that we are a new creation. So when we get saved, it is no more Yanko that lives. So Yanko needs to die to self. I have a tattoo on my arm that says dying to self. It's a reminder, Anton. Hey, are you acting out of yourself now? So Romans 12, verse 1 to 2 says, I'm sorry. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He's done for you. So God's done it, eh? How beautiful is that? Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. So that means that the old person can't live anymore. That means somewhere we need to die. Somewhere there's going to be stuff in us where we need to die. Somewhere there will be offense where we have to recognize, why do I have offense in this area? Okay. Oh, you're amazing. I feel so loved. Okay. So we all agree that when we get saved, there's a process of transformation which is called sanctification. You guys know that. We all agree that when we get saved, it's no longer I that lives, but I should go through a process of becoming like Jesus, which is called sanctification. It means I need to go through the fire. So it means stuff will surface, which is beautiful and ugly and messy. Okay. Part of that transformation is the fact that we will grow in unity with one another. If we do not do that, if Satan gets it right for us to keep offense in our hearts so that we cannot build unity, he's stopping the growth of God's church. That's scary. And this isn't everyone, this is one person holding on to offense. One person. Ephesians 4 verse 1 to 4 says, yay, you're very fast. Therefore, it says therefore because Ephesians 1, 2 and 3 speaks about everything that Jesus has done for us. Okay. And then it says, because of everything that is done, therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Because of what he's done. Lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. How beautiful is that? We are a priesthood of believers. Each and every one. Each and every one has been called by God. That's beautiful, eh? Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Make every effort. Okay. For we are one body, one Spirit, as just as you have been called to one glorious hope in the future. Now the reality is, as we go through this process, I want to explain to you just quickly about offense. And I'll give you some examples out of my life so that you see how easy it is to get it. Okay. It's easy to get offended. It's really easy. Because remember, how many nations, how many different cultures are sitting in this room? I'm Afrikaans, coming from a small dorp called Dispatch. You know? And God called me to Africa. South Africa is Africa, but you guys know what I mean. But that's God's sense of humor. He's making sure that we die to self. Okay. Now, one of the ways that we can get offended is by unmet expectations, especially in church. We get saved and we have certain expectations from people. We have certain expectations from the leaders, which is a lot of weight to carry, to be honest with you guys. You know what's the reality? And this is scary. Please love me after I say this. Please love me. Janko has not been called to McKinney to please any one of you. They have not been called here to please any one of you. They've been called here to obey Him. By doing that, He loves you. Because God says love them. So that means the fact that Janko's been called here, he will say stuff that you will not like. Sorry, I'm spitting. You might receive some spray this morning. He will say stuff that you will not like. Why? Because he obeys him and not people. Sorry, Janko, I'm talking a lot about you today. You know what's the problem with church today? The sheep wants to lead the shepherd. Is there any sheep farmers here? So you can explain what it will look like if your sheep comes to you and say, they say, follow me today. That will be chaotic. God is, hey? You also a sheep farmer, sorry. But there's a thing of unmet expectations, and that's usually just caused by misunderstandings, lack of communication, different cultures. You know what's the scary thing? What I had to do. Because Afrikaans is a very proud culture. Okay. We are very strong and very hard headed. There's too many confirmations here, guys. Okay. Yo. Stay low, Anton. But the thing is, God had to make sure, Anton, you need to die. Because I will not work through you, because I cannot rest my spirit with his pride. I did not tell you, Anton, take your Afrikaans culture and build my church around your culture. That is a cult. He has called us to a place of full surrender. So we can't say, if God speaks through the leaders, sorry, I can't do it because it's not my culture. You will need to die. If we want to see God moving here, in McKinney, we need to die to our culture. That's difficult to receive, eh? I had to die to my culture. God said, Anton, I will remove dry flesh from you. I said, Lord, no. I will die to self. Just keep the fire, Lord. Please. But God is jealous for his bride. I'll try not to run too far. Another thing that causes offense, you know why? As we grow up, from the day that you are born, Satan tries to sidetrack you. From the day of birth, he imparts lies in your heart. Satan's goal is to distort what God has designed so that we can't see what he has designed clearly. So then he uses culture. He uses authority. I will not submit. This is one thing that I struggled with. My relationship with Jesus is with him, not with the leaders. I don't need to submit to leaders because God will speak to me directly. Huh? Have you guys felt like that? Yeah? I was very strong on that. It's like, don't tell me what to do. God will tell me. God doesn't gossip. Can I give you something? Can I tell you something? God will very often speak to your leaders before they speak to you. Because you are the sheep and they are the shepherd. God has designed it that way. Now, because of the hurt of the past, of relationships, of authority, you know how church leaders misuse the authority that's given to them. Woe to them when they stand before him. Because he will say, you abuse my church. Church leaders. We sometimes use, hopefully not us, we in accountability with one another. Please tell me if I do it. But sometimes, very often, we have church hurt because of what church leaders has done out of the grace of God. And because of that, that is our excuse to say, I will not listen to my leaders. I will not listen to authority. I will not follow God's design on how to build church because I've been offended by a church leader. Because I've been offended by my father. You know, my mother fell pregnant while she had a relationship with another man. I never knew really who's my biological father. I struggled to submit to authority. Pride and entitlement can cause offense. You know, God will not rest his spirit with his pride. So I want to tell you, when you are being discipled, well, there will be offense. You know, usually the Lord will lay certain guys on my heart, and then I'll go to them and say, yo, the Lord told me I need to disciple you. In the beginning, they're always excited. I'm like, usually when they start laughing and they say excited, I look at them, I was like, yeah, no, wait a bit, buddy. Well, let's see how far this excitement goes. Because if you are being discipled in God's way, you will be offended. There will be offense, guys. I'm not saying there might be. You will sit with offense in your heart. Another way to receive offense is secondary offense. Have you guys ever heard of that? Say, Yanko comes to me and he says something to me that I don't like. And then I think to myself, Yanko, I don't like what you did, but I don't tell you. I go to John. John, Yanko was really rude to me. And I really feel as a leader, and sorry, I'm making a lot of reference to leaders because that's often the most problems. Okay. I would say, Yanko did X, Y, and Z, and X, Y, and Z, and X, Y, and Z. What do you think? Do you think this is a godly way to do a thing? John is like, yo, man, I don't know if this is right, eh? Hey? Yanko did nothing to John. Poor John is coming to church on Sunday without Yanko even speaking to him. And he looks at Yanko and is like, Yeah, that man. Secondary offense, guys, is very dangerous. You know what secondary offense does? It causes division. You know what God will do to those who causes division in his church? He will not allow it. He will not allow. We need to be careful how we process our hearts, guys. The Bible is very clear on how to do it. We need to be, and I'll go to now how to deal with offense. And then one last thing is, sometimes we're offended against God. We have offense against God. There was one day I drove from Cape Town. In COVID, I lost my business. I lost everything in COVID time. We basically had to stay on the streets. Thank you, Jesus, for friends. And they helped us. And I'll never forget, I had to work very hard. I just had to do any job that I can to bring an income in. One day I drove from Cape Town, the city, to my house. And my prayer was, God, how can you do this to me? How can you allow these circumstances in my life? I serve you in church, God. I lead communities, Lord. I do this. Lord, how can you? And all of a sudden the Lord said to me, who do you think I am that you ask me these questions? I immediately repented. Sometimes If we don't understand God, we won't understand what He's doing. There's a very good friend of mine in Marondera that I just got to know well now. He was quite a big party man. He's doing quite well with business. So, well, usually when there's the drinking culture in Marondera, they stay on being, they just continue being thirsty. I don't know how you get so much fluids in your body. Okay. So this oak is one of the big party animals. But all of a sudden, in his life and in his business, things started falling flat. And he came to see me now because he wants to speak to the pastor. And he said, please explain to me how God will allow these circumstances in my life if He loves me. And I said, my friend, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because God will take everything for your soul. God is willing to remove everything that you have to make sure that you stay in eternity with Him. So often we're offended by Him because we don't know Him. And yes, certain circumstances are very tough. But man is with you. Man, He loves us. But if we don't see it, the devil will say to you, what kind of God do you serve? And you, the offense will build even higher. Then the Lord will send someone from church, your community leader, or just a friend to say, you know what, Jesus loves you. And you're like, what? What a joke is that? Don't tell me that. If He loved me, how can He allow that? God never leaves us nor forsakes us, though He does allow circumstances to draw us closer to Him. Okay. I need to jump some stuff. Otherwise, we're going, how many? 2 hours, eh? You know, Hebrews 12 verse 11 says, Well done. Okay. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. You know that God loves His children, and He says that He disciplines those He loves. But it says that it's not enjoyable while it's happening. Okay. That's why we might feel that the pain. It's painful. But afterward, when we receive the discipline, when we receive correction, when we deal with the offense in our hearts, after that, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in His way, in this way. Beautiful, eh? Now, how do we identify when we have offense in our hearts? Now, the reality is, I'm talking here, you know that you have offense in your heart, but I just want to say it for the sake of saying it. Okay. Because you will know if you have offense. But sometimes we need to try to identify it as well. When you avoid someone. When we avoid someone. When we start to replay certain circumstances and situations in our head. Have you ever done that? When someone said something against you and you replay that thing in your head the whole time. Huh? Only me. Okay. Sorry. Okay. When there's bitterness, sarcasm, and just coldness. You know how I struggled to be led by my leaders because of my pride. Sorry, Bucky. You said pride now. Do I still have it? No? Okay. You know how I struggled to listen. I had bitterness in my heart against my leaders when they corrected me on something. You know, when a couple of years ago, I had quite a bad temper. And I was quite violent. Okay, so I would lose my temper and people would get hurt in the process. And I also get hurt. It usually goes two ways. Okay. Now, the elders came to me. They all sat in front of me. And they said this very carefully. But they said it. Anton, we are willing to take away your children and your wife because they are not safe with you. In my mind, I'm thinking, you are not enough. The feelings I had was like, I'm willing to fight for them. But they said, you are ungodly, you are violent, and your children and your wife cannot be in your home because of that. Sure. I went away, I felt so loved. No, I went away with a lot of anger there. Even against my wife. She did nothing wrong, this poor woman. But offense looks at everything around you except yourself. And then the Lord said to me, I am putting a camp around you, Anton. If you lose your temper one more time, I will totally remove my grace from your life. And I had to repent to my wife, to my kids. When we have a loss of peace, a peace and joy, that's sometimes often caused by offense in our hearts. And you're trying to justify your emotions and why you're not willing to reconcile with a person. Okay. How do we deal with offense? How do we deal with it? This is the fun part. Okay. You need to acknowledge it. You need to acknowledge I have offense in my heart. Guys, you know it's really okay to have offense, eh? You know that. It's just not okay to keep it. Because you choose to build a wall. You choose to not make every effort for the unity in the Spirit. You choose that then. Okay. You need to go to that person when you have offense. And the thing is with that is, and I've seen this in Marondera, the Shona culture is the most loving culture. Oh my, that they're loving. But they will not come to you if you did something wrong. But they will go to everyone else. The Afrikaans culture is, oh yes, I'll come to you. Now, Matthew 18 from verse 15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell everyone else about it. And then build up allies against him so that you have an army to fight him. Is it not that? Ah, sorry, I missed it. Okay. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Let's not cause secondary offense, guys. The Bible is clear. If we don't follow this, we sin. If we don't follow this, we actually go against what God has put in place. It's scary, eh? It's a little foxes, guys. Go to him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. How beautiful. But this doesn't always happen. Okay. If he does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So God is giving us a guideline how to deal with offense. God is giving it to us. He's not saying, if your brother sins against you, keep it inside yourself, pressure it down until you explode. He's telling us how to do this. This was Jesus himself saying it, eh? We need to choose to forgive people. You know, there was a season in my life where I said, I will not forgive my parents. I will not. There was a day, can I tell you guys a short story? Because I have another hour left. My dad, my father, biological father, eventually I found out he is my biological father. I stayed with him the last 3 years of my school. That is after I've been expelled from two high schools. Okay, so I went to go and stay with my dad. Now, my dad is this high, but he's a man. Okay. Now, my dad is the most friendly, amazing. So, this is in the past, eh? My dad is, we have a very good relationship now. But there is a thing called brandewijn. Brandy. Have you heard of brandy? Now, brandy, they sell in bulk in dispatch where I come from. Okay. So, when the guys start clapping the brandy, the emotions start, the boldness starts rising. And usually, it turns out into fights. Okay. Now, the one day, I just got saved, and I was walking to the rugby club where my dad is. And now, I'm going to be very realistic with you guys for you to understand. Okay. We grew up in a very racist culture. You guys know about South Africa and the apartheid and things like that. Now I got saved. Now I don't have this anymore in my heart. Okay. But there's other guys that still had it. My dad had it. He doesn't have it anymore. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord set him free. Okay. So I walk towards the club and he comes out of the club. There's steps and I see one of the schoolboys walking on the rugby field. He's a black boy. My dad looks at him. This boy has no idea what's happening. My dad starts running towards this boy. He's in school. I see it. I start running. And I tackle my dad. And we wrestle the smoke out of each other. And I'm just trying. And I'm shouting. This poor kid is standing there. And I'm shouting, run! Run! Because I can't hold my dad. He's a strong man. And this boy runs. And then I ran. Okay. So then I went home waiting for my dad to come home. Now you have to understand, this man is a dangerous man. He was. He came home and oh my word, all hell broke loose. It was violent. It was not fun. So I walked away from home. That Monday I went to school, this kid sang my praises. He thought I saved his life against a random oak. I was so irritated by him, and I said to him, just leave me alone. I was like, that night, when I walked away from home, I said to God, I will never forgive my dad. And then the Lord clearly said to me, I forgave you. I forgave you. And I had to forgive him. And he still did what he did. And I had to forgive him again. Colossians 3 verse 13 to 14 says, make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Okay, that's scary. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together with in perfect harmony. Now listen to this scary scripture that Jesus said. Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Father will forgive you. Beautiful, eh? Until you read the next part. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you choose to keep offense and not forgive, you will not be forgiven. You know what happens when you die and you're not forgiven? You see the reality of this? You see now how serious is offense? It's not something lightly that we should just, but it's okay to feel like that. It's okay because the reality is you will feel it, but it's not okay to not deal with it. Now, what happens when we don't deal with offense? How much time do I have, Janko? Oh. That's dangerous to say to me. Eh? When we don't deal with offense, this is what happens. Your heart gets hardened. Okay. Your heart will get hardened. And you know why that happens? It's because some people really went through tough life, eh? They really experienced tough stuff in their life. So they harden themselves to protect themselves from others. Huh? I was like that. I didn't allow anyone in because I will protect myself. You harden your heart. Now the problem is if you have offense against a leader or a fellow brother in church, you actually limit your spiritual growth. Because the leader in the church, God will speak to him to speak to the church. If you have offense in your heart, you will look through certain lenses and actually miss what the Lord is saying. You know the disciples got on the boat just after Jesus offended the Pharisees, and they realized that they forgot bread. They forgot to take bread. This is after Jesus fed so many. So they got on the boat. Jesus said to them, watch out for the yeast. Okay? He spoke about the Pharisees. Them only thinking about the bread said to each other, it's because we forgot the bread, guys. This is just after Jesus fed thousands. If we forgot the bread. And Jesus rebukes them and tell them, I just fed so many guys. I'm talking about the Pharisees, guys. The problem is, if we hold on to offense, you look into the offense and you miss what Jesus is saying. You totally miss what God is saying. Because you have certain lenses that you look through that's shadowing you from hearing him, and Satan is shouting, yes! It's scary, eh? Satan is good, guys, with what he's doing. He's not good. He's good at what he's doing. Okay. If you don't deal with offense, it destroys relationships. It blocks your spiritual growth. And it opens the door to Satan. Ephesians 4:26-27. I want to use scriptures here, guys, to just support what I'm saying. Okay. So apologize for all the scriptures, but just bear with me. Ephesians, yes, you're so amazing. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Okay. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Do you want the devil in your life? Well, don't be angry. No, you can be angry, just don't let it control you. Not dealing with offense is a sin. This is what I felt on Tuesday night when the leaders were together. If we choose not to deal with it because I have pride and I don't want to go towards a person because of all the different excuses, the 25 that I can think of now, you are sinning. It's scary. Lord, help me. You know, I am also being led by Moni and by the guys in 412. If my leader says something to me, I can't hold it in anymore. I run towards them. And this is my posture. Please help me see what you said, because I might be blinded by my own thoughts and my own ways, but I don't want to be blind. Please, can you help me see what you are seeing? Because I don't see it. I don't tell them how wrong they are. I don't go to fight them. I present my heart to them. And I say, you know what? You said this one thing, and I can't just, it doesn't sit right with me. Why do I not see what you're saying? Can you help me, please? Please help me. I want to follow you well. But I think I'm in the way of myself at the moment. And I'm telling you, there's a blessing with that posture. Jesus lived an unoffended life. You know how many things Jesus could take offense of? All the lack of faith of his disciples. After they saw a dead man standing up, they still had lack of faith. After he fed thousands, I mean, guys, think of these miracles. And they still had a lack of faith. Peter denying him while he's being beaten. Guys, have any of you ever been beaten? Do you know what that feels like? It is not fun. While he's being beaten, his best friend, I don't know him. The very one sitting next to him at the table. Betrays him. But Jesus still loved him. Jesus allowed him at the table. Oh my hat. What would you do if you know a brother is going to sin against you right now, but he's invited to your dinner? But he's going to do it now. Hey, close the door, eh? Bye-bye. Go get KFC. You're not coming in here. His own words was this. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. How beautiful is that, guys? Now, this morning, I really want to call a response to this thing. I want you guys to check your hearts this morning. I'm going to challenge you this morning. Can I challenge you? Okay, you said yes. I want to challenge you this morning. And it's not going to be just, I raise my hands. I want to challenge, because this is life, eh? Church is not an organization we come to. We are the body of Him, Jesus. Jesus is the head. So we need to, just for a moment, be real with ourselves. Okay. You know, the Father was so serious about restoration that He allowed His Son to be tortured and died on the cross so that we can be reconciled to Him because of our sin. If we choose not to be reconciled with our brothers because of offense, we're denying the actual work on the cross. That's scary. I don't want to do that. I don't want to deny this, what the Lord has done. Then the last thing is, I want you guys to close your eyes quickly for a moment. Can you maybe play on the keys for me? Just close your eyes. So I want you to do introspection with yourself now. Just check. Just check your heart. Lord, am I missing this? Remember, ultimately, the Lord wants to bring us to a people where we love one another well. This is the first step to loving one another. This is the first step to do everything we can for the unity in our faith. If you sit here and you know there's offense in your heart, identify that thing. Oh, someone said something that hurt me so badly. Someone said something that really hurt my heart. Identify that. Then also I want you to just listen to the scripture. Keep your eyes closed. Matthew 5 says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice, listen to this, at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. I also want you to recognize ways that you might know that someone has something against you. Something that you have done against someone. So you are not on the receiving end. On the giving end. Just for a moment, guys. I'm going to give you guys space. Identify. Clear your mind, your heart of all the thoughts now. Lord, identify where is the offense. Identify the offense. Show us, Lord. Reveal it to us. Show us, Lord, where we have done things to offend